And if you're not rowing, it's because of you. Like, imagine they stayed for 22 years. He clippered. It was only a strip of hair, but he was clippering in the first week. And I was like, man, they're smart. If you're wanting to grow a salon brand, a team-based brand, then this is not... Now, this sentence might install instant panic in you, and that is, can I get a pay rise? You have this feeling that if you don't pay her, you feel scared she'll leave. But also at the same time, you don't actually know if you can afford to give her one because she's not even hitting her key performance indicators, her targets. So today I'm sharing a recent live workshop in the Profitable and Successful Salon Owners Facebook group. And we covered how to pay your people. You'll learn the three pay way, how to attract top talent and build a team that will stay for the long term and beat that 2-year team exit properly once and for all. So you don't lose your people when they're finally profitable. And give your team the tools and path to succeed inside of your salon. Sometimes it means that they stay in your salon even longer than you do. Maybe they'll even buy it off you one day. This episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by the Salon Mastery Boardroom. And if you're a salon owner looking for actionable career roadmaps to take you and your team and the salon to the next level, elevate your business, the $1 million level and beyond, then the boardroom is the right place for you. Join weekly closed door conversations with easy to implement strategies, regular workshops geared specifically to the problems and challenges of those salons who are $1 million plus. So if you're interested in learning more, click apply now in the show notes of this episode. Meanwhile, I would love for you to join me in this workshop. Pay your people properly because they will prosper.
Hey, Larissa here from Salon Owners Collective. I'm really excited today to have you join me. We're running a session today called Pay Your People and Prosper. What inspired me today is I often got the question, hey, Larissa, I've got no idea how I'm supposed to pay my team. How do I do it fairly? But I'm really fearful and frightened that I'm going to go broke. I can't really afford to. The margin's not there. Do I give them bonuses? Should I pay commission? When can I afford to have another team member, a therapist or a stylist? I don't know when I can afford them. The salon needs more income, like we need to do more clients. It all feels like too much. Maybe I'll just rent a chair because that feels easier, which is not, by the way. Hey, Leah from Canada. We work with a lot of people in Canada. There's obviously some kind of relationship between Canada and New Zealand. Like we're on the opposite sides of the earth, but we're like-minded, I feel. So I remember actually asking myself the same question. I was 20 when I opened my salon and figuring out how the heck to pay my team. It was confusing. And I wanted to pay them well so they could afford to live their lives, you know, fair enough. But at the same time, they needed to be serving clients. Oh, you're snowboarding. Love that. It's supposed to be summer here, but I'm actually hogging the heater. So I could be snowboarding for all that matters. Okay, so how can we afford to pay the people well so they can have a good lifestyle, but at the same time, they need to be serving clients, charging properly, hitting the sales targets that we get them, give them, reaching key performance indicators so we actually have the money and the cash to pay them, right? Because meanwhile we're worried that that our team think that we're just stuffing all of the cash into our back pocket. Like that's actually a thing. Do we think our team think that we're taking all the money? Yes, they do think we're taking all the money. and we need to do something about that. But in the meantime, after testing all of the different things in my own salon, honestly, I tried all of the things. I quickly learned that the secret to paying my team, there is a right way that works the best, and it takes away the stress and the sleepless nights. So today, that's what I want to talk about. How do we pay our people so they prosper, but also that we prosper? How do we pay our people? What's the structure and what's the best way and what maybe we should avoid? How do we make sure that we attract top talent without us worrying that we're going to go broke? And how do we build a team that actually lasts for the long time? So let's dig right in. I actually made this tool for you guys last week. And so I'm going to share it with you at the end. I don't want to get distracted by what we're going to cover today. So I'm excited to give that to you. So just if I forget, can you remind me at the end? I'm going to give you the link to that. I think in the last 4 years in particular, actually dramatically in the last 4 years. This industry has changed a lot. And the pool of people that we have, who we have to choose from, like the talent pool that we can employ into our business, do you know what? They've changed. They're different. And they want to work less hours. Yes, they don't want to work Saturday, but they do want to earn more, right? Well, who doesn't? Don't blame them, really. But what makes it hard is that the prices of all the things have gone up. Rent has gone up, stock has gone up, and it's more expensive to run our business. But also the prices for them to live has gone up. And so the pressure is on us as business owners to pay our people more. Like, that pressure is on us for our existing people, but also for our new people coming in. We feel pressure to pay top dollar so we can get anyone to join our team. And otherwise, we feel the pressure that they're going to go and work at the salon down the road. So with prices rising, it does mean that your margins have already been shot a little bit, and wage bills are pretty high. On average, most salon owners that come and join my salon mastery program, what I discover on that first entry is that often their wage bills are well over 50%, often even in the 60% margin. And we just can't manage those margins. This industry cannot manage those margins. So what are we going to do about that? The problem is, though, that like most owners, you're probably worried that if I don't pay them more, they're going to leave, and then I can't pay my bills anyway. And we're worried that they're going to go work at the salon down the road because they're paying more per hour. But if you're like me, we're scratching our heads going, how do they afford to do that? So it feels like lots of people are leaving the industry and that they're leaving to work from home or go and work in the suites. And what's worse is no one, if we do get someone to come and work for us, they don't actually even want to work on Saturday. Like, honestly, come on, people. But what if you could pay your people well, you know, like top dollar, and you could attract great talent, like actually attract great people, and attract great people who will actually be profitable. So the business can be profitable and have great people, and you can pay them well. What if we could actually have all of those things? So you probably think that what the team cares about the most is getting more money, of course, and working less. Don't forget that one. More money, working less. But actually, I think this is a great thing. I think the talent pool that we have to choose from now, this generation that's coming into our industry, they actually care about working in an environment that has more meaning and more purpose. Like, they actually care more deeply about things, more than money itself. And they'll care about lifestyle and the way that they spend their time more than they care about the cash. I mean, they want cash too, don't get me wrong. But assuming it, because assuming they can live well, we want our people to be able to feed themselves. So I think the money itself is only half of the puzzle. People leave us when they run out of future, when they run out of seeing the possibility and the potential and the brand that you're building. And it's heartbreaking when our people leave us just when they finally get profitable. Do you know, when they finally build a clientele, they've got their column book, and then they come and tell us, oh, by the way, I'm leaving. And what's worse, I'm leaving the industry, or I'm going to go and work at the, you know, in a suite. And if that's happening to you, it probably means that you're not creating enough future for them to want to stay or to warrant to stay. Good question, Katie. Rule of thumb. Do you know what? I would like to say there's a really clear rule of thumb. I do have a really clear framework around margins, but it's a little bit subjective to your business, your prices, your local area, your country, your state, and the minimum wage in your area. So yes, but no, all at the same time. Are we doing including GST, excluding GST? So I'm super mindful of giving a blanket number to everybody. I think the mistake that we make is that it's easy for us to feel pressured just to pay them a little bit more to keep them quiet, right? Rather than lose them, let's just pay them another dollar. And meanwhile, we're kind of like, oh, God, I feel, what's the word? You know, hamstrung, held hostage, you know, in my own business. And I worry that if I don't pay them more, I'm going to lose them, but then I'm actually also worried that I'm going to go broke. So we pay them a stinky little $1 to keep them quiet, which is not really going to change their life, really at all. But I think actually we want to pay our people properly. And I want to share with you the three ways to pay and prosper, the three-way pay. If you're losing people when they finally get profitable, do you know they finally get qualified and they finally get fully booked? And then if this is one of the challenges that you are facing, and I know many owners are facing it on a regular basis, and it becomes this two steps forwards, two steps back. When will I ever get the perfect team? And if you're experiencing that, then maybe what's lacking is a really clear career pathway, a roadmap that's going to build future for them so they can see, where am I going in this place? Like, when do I get a pay rise? What is in the future for me? Because when they look into the future, they need to be able to see that they can fulfill their own personal dreams from inside of your brand. Do they actually know what the future is? And my question to you is, do you know what the future plans and goals are of your team? Have you ever asked them? I'd love to know, actually. Do you want to let me know in the chat? Have you ever asked them? Because my experience is that most owners are fearful of asking them because they're going to find out that they want to go and, become an international star in a different country. And then we're like, oh my God, I'm going to build them all up just for them to leave. So my question is, do you actually know what the dreams are? And can you paint a picture for them that their dreams can come true inside of your brand? And then I think if they have a clear roadmap to success and you've given them future, then the mistake we make is that we feel annoyed when they don't make their targets. Because, well, they're qualified, they should know how to do this, they should know. So instead, I actually think your role as the salon CEO is to give them the tools and coach them. How do you achieve the goals that they have? People care about their goals, not yours, but they need some buy-in to yours so you can, do it together. So if your role is to set them a revenue target, to your point, Katie, and when they need to make that, and show them how do you make the money, show them how do they make bank, show them how to build a full column, and show them that beyond the dollars, that the career is more than just the dollars. And I call this coaching them to win. Coach them to win, because then your job's easy. Do you know? So my question to you is, what do you pay? What do you do right now? Do you pay hourly? Do you pay commission? Do you have renters and freelancers? I'm keen to do a bit of a poll. There's quite a big group of us here live. What? They just get good and then they leave. It's just a symptom that we're not building enough future for them and giving them enough pathway that aligns with their own lives. And the balance is finding, how do we align their future with the future goals of the brand? This is the challenge of the Salon CEO 2024 and beyond. This is, we have to nail this challenge. Jody says we pay commission. All right, I would love for you to put it in there. I'd love to get a bit of a, and if you're watching this on the replay or you're listening later on the podcast, I would love for you to come here and let me know. I would want to do a poll in this group. I just realized that sometimes, there's 6,500 people in this group and I've not met everybody. So I want to just connect with, if we've not met, hi, I'm Larissa. I am the founder of Salon Owners Collective. I am a stylist. I was a salon owner. I am still a business owner. So I still feel like, sometimes when I say to my husband, I'm coming down to the office, I actually say, I'm just going to pop down to the salon. I think in my mind, I still think I own a salon. I opened my salon 6 months out of my apprenticeship. I was 20. And when I sold, well, at the most, the biggest team I had was 30. And when I sold, we had 27 on the team. I worked in and on my business 15 hours a week. And I was crazy enough to start another company. Anyway, there's another whole story for another time. I won the Global Salon Business Award 3 times in New Zealand. I traveled around the globe to collect those awards. I studied at UCLA and did entrepreneurial studies. And after I sold the salon, I spent a couple of years working in building salon software and technology in the marketing space. And it was then that I realized that the industry was in pain. There are a lot of owners who don't pay themselves and working 60 hours a week. And I thought, man, I learned a thing or two in my 20 years of salon ownership, and this is what inspired me to start Salon Owners Collective. My goal now is to help people increase sales at a minimum, $114,000 a year. Like, we should be growing at that at a minimum, and we track that. I think a business owner needs to earn a minimum of 100K a year. Otherwise, you might as well go and work for somebody else. We need to work on our business more than in our business. And we need to build rockstar teams, teams that we can install 100% trust in, but they also have 100% trust back in us. Anyway, that's a little bit about me. Hey, nice to meet you. Let's get back to paying our people properly. And I really want to start. I've got three steps to share with you today. I want to start. Number one is what I call the three-way pay, the three must-do ways to pay your team properly. Are you ready? Let me know in the chat. Oh, yes, great. Thank you for sharing. Beauty therapists just pay hourly, no commission. I'm hoping to change your mind on this today, Katie. Basic wage or commission, whichever is higher. All right, cool. Well, let's talk about the three-way pay, because I think there are three ways to pay and you should do them all. Let me tell you why. Number one is I am a strong believer in paying an hourly wage. I know not every country in the world has a minimum wage, but we should be aware of what it is. And at a minimum, we should be paying a minimum hourly wage. I actually like paying above that, but depending on your pricing in your area and what the minimum wage is in your country, that might vary. The benefit of paying your team to show up and be part of the team is that you can build a strong, cohesive culture where people are prepared to show up and do the work, because we can't expect them to show up and do the work. And I'm talking about not just client work, all of the work that it takes to build a cohesive team and a cohesive brand. There are things to be done, and it's more than just cleaning and sweeping, right? And why should we expect our team to show up when they're not getting paid? Fair enough, right? You might do it as an owner, but I think we make a mistake when we try to lay those expectations upon our team members. And I know, like I said, there are probably, of all of the owners that come that I talk to who are looking to join Salon Mastery, 50% of them are not getting paid and are working more than 40 hours. Like, this is crazy. And so we get a distorted reality around what people should do for money. And there's a little bit of resentment sets in if you're one of those people. There are plenty of people in this industry earning a lot of money and a lot of profit. So don't get me wrong, but it's easy for resentment to set in if you're not paying yourself well, to have these unrealistic expectations for our team. And I think to have somebody to turn up, to come and play, be part of the team, I think it's a good expectation. And when you have that expectation of them, and they also have an expectation that when I turn up, I'm being paid to play, and I'm gonna play along. So I think that's a really important baseline. Number two, commission removes the hourly wage ceiling. So when you get an hourly rate, it's like, if I turn up and I just do a half-assed job, I get the same. If I do a great job, I get the same. If I do a shit job, I get the same. There's no motivation to perform and do better. And there's a ceiling. You work the hours, you work 40 hours. Nobody works 40 hours now, do they? Does anybody work 40 hours now? Let's just go, I reckon full-time is probably 35 hours now. They get the same if they turn up for 35 hours, whether they're busy or not. Not. What is the motivation to work a little bit harder if they're not going to get anything for it? And so commission on top of your hourly wage removes the ceiling and provides motivation for rock star stylists or therapists to serve and sell your salon brand clients, right? It helps your sales skyrocket by dangling a carrot and remove the ceiling. Otherwise, what's the point? I'm going to do my hours. I'm going to do the clients that are in my column and I'm done. Tick. Thanks. I'll go home. So if you're complaining about your team not being motivated to actually perform, then that's because you're not motivating them to perform. Make sense? I believe in stacking your wages, the three ways to pay. The three-way pay is you pay hourly plus commission plus bonuses. When you set clear key performance indicators that reward your team's effort by paying bonuses on the right work, Not any work, the right work, the smart work. You want your team members to work smart. In 2024, people do not want to work long hours, but they will work smart. If I can make more in less time, as an owner, you shouldn't care whether or not they work 35 hours, 40 hours, or 20 hours. If they can do the big money, everybody's winning. And so if we give them an incentive to do the right work, the right type of things that are going to move the needle, then everybody is winning. And so should you pay all three things? Yes, you should. Motivate and incentivize them to do not just good work, not just any work, but smart work. And as the business owner, you need to provide them with the visibility to say, well, what are the levers that I can pull as a stylist or a therapist to make any given hour smarter for the client and for the team member? Like, I'm not talking about selling for selling's sake, because that's not genuine care and serving for a client. But the measure of success of a client having a good service is that she has a high bill. Because if she gets the things that she wants, that she came for, the things that she needs to feel better, look better, and the things that she didn't even know that existed that she always didn't know she wanted. Does that make sense? But there are things that your clients don't know that if they had, they would look better, feel better, and they want to choose that service over buying two coffees. They might choose to compromise and have one coffee a day to have that thing to get the outcome that they want. So why aren't we giving it to our clients, and why aren't we teaching our team what those things are? If we can do all of those three things, then your team are motivated to work, and they're motivated to do the right work, and they can be paid well. Remove the ceiling on what's possible, because nobody wants a ceiling. That's demotivating. All right, I'm going to give you a guide on those three things. I'll give it to you at the end. I want to touch on quickly before I do the three things that I think we should avoid when it comes to structure on how we pay our people. And number one is what most people call rent-a-chair. You could put the suite into salon suites into this. No, salon suites is different, but rent-a-chair, like if you're building a brand and you're wanting to rent a chair to your team, then really you're not a salon owner, you become a landlord. Renting a chair has become complicated when trying to create a winning culture. And if you're wanting to grow a brand and you're wanting to keep your team motivated, try keeping your tenants motivated, right? If your goal is to build a brand with motivated, cohesive team culture, with people on the same path to achieve a vision, then renting a chair is not the way to do it, because they're just renting a space to run their own business. It's really hard to cajole people to behave a certain way or to present the brand in a way or serve clients in a way, and you've got no control over that. And so unless you love being a landlord and you want to be able to make money just from the clients that you serve, and you just want to be a one-man band and you want other people to help pay the rent, great. But if you're wanting to grow a salon brand, a team-based brand, then this is not the right solution for you. And the next one is a hybrid salon, where I can see the industry now, the industry owners, starting to go, do you know what? Things have changed. Rent is high. I need to pay my people more. I think rent-a-chair sounds more simple. I'm going to open that up as an option. And I just think it is confusing for your team, and it's messy for both parties, for the renters and for those that are our employees. And really, you're just building a pathway for your employees to become tenants later. You train them, you build them, teach the skills, you show them how to build a column, and then they walk away and say, thanks, that was really nice. Now I'm going to just pay you a little bit of rent and I'm going to be my own boss. And you don't want to create a pathway. That is not the career pathway for you to be successful and build a brand that's going to pay you without you working 40, 60 hours yourself. So I also believe, don't try to be all things to all people. You can't serve all ends of the market. So don't try. Not a fan of that one. Last but not least, commission only. This is probably the least of my non-favorites, or the ones that I'm suggesting that we avoid. Because if we're just paying them based on the service that they provide, it means that your team are motivated to serve clients, which is great, sounds nice, but then they're not really motivated to be part of the team, to be part of the business or the brand, because they're not getting paid to do anything else other than serve the clients. And stylists and therapists too often will do the bare minimum or nothing, this is the complaint that I hear a lot, between the clients. And there's this confusion about how can I ask them to contribute to the team, turn up to team meetings, clean the bowls. If you've got no clients for the afternoon, how do I get them to stay? Because to get last minute bookings, all of those things, if they're not getting paid, right? It becomes a self-focused environment, because they'll be fighting over who gets the client, because they're only motivated to do a client and nothing else. So those are the three ways to pay, the three ways to avoid.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and interrupt super quick to say that my team and I are on a mission to elevate the industry. We want to change the perspective of the industry that this is a career for school dropouts who like painting nails and playing with hair. Damn it, we're business owners, we are CEOs, and I need your help to get out that message. Too many owners are working 60 hours a week or more and not paying themselves. I don't want to change that in this industry. When you subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, the algorithm gets a jolt and the podcast is pushed out to more salon owners just like you. Together, we can elevate the industry. All right, that's all I needed to ask. Back to the episode.
Let's step into building a career pathway. And this is step number two. If we can have the three ways to pay, then step number two is let's build them a career roadmap. The challenge with this industry, let me just take a moment. Let's talk about the challenge of the industry in 2024. But you know what? It's not just a 2024 problem. This is a long-standing problem of the industry. And I'm an example. The reason I know this is because I was one of these people, and I see it happening to salon owners all of the time. So we establish an apprenticeship. I did an apprenticeship. Once I was qualified, there was nothing next for me. I was earning $10 an hour. This is a wee while ago now. I was earning $10 an hour as a qualified stylist. And I thought, well, I'm here. I'm at the top of the pile. I was now the most senior person in my business. The previous senior people had moved on and moved other way. And I saw them leave. And so the pathway for me was that I obviously needed to leave too, right? And there was no next step. There was no career pathway. There was nothing in the future for me that had been provided by my salon owner that gave me any reason to stay. And so I too opened my own salon. And I see this cycle now happening to owners, and the industry is full of salons with two and three people inside of them. And there's no incentive or reason for qualified stylists and therapists to stay in the business and play. There's not enough salons building career pathways for their team. And what I discovered is that the average time an employee stays in a salon business is 2 years. 2 years. Someone's only just arrived in 2 years. Like, by the time that they work out how the business works, attracted clients and got fully booked, it takes 2 years and then they're off. So if we're just settling for 2 years, we actually never get out of this vicious cycle of two steps forward, two steps back, and we can't grow our business. So we have to do better if we want to survive as an industry. And I know that we, you know, coming back to this, we're afraid that if we invest the time in growing our people, that, you know, we spend all the time and we train them and we do workshops and we do all the things and we take them to Hair Expo and whatever, that they're just going to leave and all the effort will be wasted. Because we see people leaving the industry. We see people going and working from home. But what if they stayed? What if they actually stayed? Like, imagine they stayed for 22 years. One of my team members, she stayed longer in the business than I did. I had the business for 20 years and she stayed another 2 years after I sold. She was in that business 22 years longer than I was. But what if they stayed for your whole career, the whole time that you owned the business? I had team members that stayed, well, obviously one at 22, one was 18 years. She left not long after I did. What if people stayed for years? What if, even if that might be like way too far-fetched, which is fine, but what if your average went up of somebody staying for 2 years and it went up to 7 years? That would be a game changer for your business. Right? What if you grew your own people and they became you know, through an apprenticeship program, they became senior stylists or therapists, and they became executives and master stylists. And what if one of them brought you out and you actually created a legacy business? It's possible. What if you had a program that you could give your team a reason to stay and play for life? So I know that many of you think if I just pay them and I just pay commission, and now Larissa, you've told me to pay them bonuses too. God, how can I afford that? Isn't that enough? I know what you're thinking, but actually they need to know what's next. And people always leave you when they run out of future. It's a human need to know what's next. And so there is nothing more than just, you know, the same as it was today. And I look at tomorrow and it's just the same kind of thing. There's the same column with the same clients. And now I'm just on Groundhog Day as a stylist or a therapist. Then what am I staying for? It's human nature to look for the next exciting, interesting thing, for creatives especially. So I think don't make the mistake of waiting till they leave or waiting till they ask for a pay rise. We need to get in front of them, tell them what their next goal is, think into the future with them. They need to be really clear and enticed and excited about the future. And I think that's your job, and it makes your job easy when you're clear about what they want and you're clear about what you want and where your business is going. You can't give them what they want until you know what you want and where you're going, and you have a really clear vision and a business plan roadmap for that. And then your job is easy. You just need to coach them down the road and give them the map to win. So how do we do that? Well, number one is we need really clear pricing for our clients based on experience. Simple terms, it's tiered pricing, because the reality is young up and coming talent is not as talented as experienced old ones, right? And I know many people are like, oh, we're one team and we're all in it together, which is nice, kumbaya and all that, but it does mean that clients are not getting an equal deal. They're paying the same price for your, you know, third year apprentice as they are for someone who's been in the industry for 20 years. It also means if you have tiered pricing that you can actually expand your market and you can meet all ends of the market and the budget. So there is, you know, some people want to come to your brand, especially if you're established and it's a quality brand, and they want to come, but they can't afford it. And they can't afford the someone who's got years and years experience, especially you as the business owner. They can't afford you, but they do want to come to the brand, and you can meet client expectation when you've got variation in prices and you can widen your market. Yeah, it's less common in the beauty industry, but we have salons doing tiered pricing for beauty, hands down. Like you have to create career progression, but you also need to create, you need to meet demand. I'll talk about that in just a second, actually, Katie. Number two is tiered wage levels. And please let me be clear, the experience is based for experience, or positioned as experience with tiered pricing, but is not how you pay levels. You cannot pay more for people to have more experience, right? Because who cares how long they've been in the industry? If they can't make the targets and the sales and they can't perform, why would you pay them more? I'm sorry, but I've seen too many people say, I've been in the industry for 20 years, and so we employ them and we pay them exorbitant amounts on an hourly rate just to get them. And they turns out that they can't do the work. They can't keep a clientele. They can't do the upgrades. They can't do the creative work. They can't do proper full skin consults, all of those things. So the result has to be results-based. So we need to do tiered pay career levels. I call it in our 100K stylist, therapist, you know, team member roadmap, we call it, do I get a pay rise? And you have to reach clear results-based criteria so you can get the pay increase, and you need to be able to do that and show performance over time. Key performance indicators like retention and sales, and can you prefer do the work or not? Because there are some young guns who have been in the industry for 3 years and they're freaking smashing it, and they're doing more and giving the older people a run for their money. And that's good. Healthy competition in the business is good. Let's talk about the last One is in the career roadmap is having an apprenticeship training program. I've talked about this before, like being able to have both. When we're thinking about recruiting, we need a hybrid strategy, and that's imports. That's bringing in somebody who's probably been trained by somebody else, somebody who applies for a job, and grow your own. So I think you need both. I had seven in my training academy at all times. And it meant that I always had the next up and coming talent ready to go in my business. And sometimes we brought in imports to fill the gaps, because actually, typically only one in about three actually complete an apprenticeship and work in the industry all the way up to master stylist or therapist. But without a roadmap for your apprentices, right from kind of after school girl all the way through to being emerging talent, senior, executive, master, all of those things, they can't see the future. And each generation that comes after the previous, they're looking for what's in it for me, what is going to keep me excited. This generation needs to be able to do the stuff we need to inspire them to do the stuff that they came to do. We can't put them on the end of a broom for 3 years and expect them to stay. My son actually just recently started a full-time barbering course. And in week one, do you know what he did? He cut hair. He clippered. It was only a strip of hair, but he was clippering in the first week. And I was like, man, they're smart, because he was excited to do that. If they'd sat him down and said, here's a book, here's a book, and we're going to do some theory now, he'd be like, oh my God, what decision did I make here? So otherwise we, you know, put them through a death of boredom. So we need to create stages and create opportunities for the work to come to keep them engaged. People need meaning and purpose in their lives and to feel like they're getting progression. Okay, let's keep moving on. If we can do the three-way pay, if we can create career roadmaps, then our next goal is really just to coach our team to win. And this is the fun bit, right? Because it's not just about teaching them technical skills, the hard skills. How do you do a facial? How do you do a forehead of highlights? How do we cut all of those things? Of course, we need to do that. But I'm not talking about that in this instance. I'm talking about probably what you might call some softer skills. How do we serve our clients? How do we deliver the finer service, like pulling out the chair? And how do we do a full consultation that actually converts into the services the client actually wants? How do we upgrade? How do we rebook? How do we make sure our clients come back? How do we build a 12-month plan for a client so the clients need future too, right? And the 100K career roadmap is built on execution, on how you show your team how to build a column. How do they build a perfect day? What does the ideal day look for them in the future? How do we move them from $500 a day stylist to a $1,500 a day stylist? What does that look like? We have a program called the 10K Stack, and there are four strategies in there, and each one of those will increase a stylist's or a therapist's tool belt, if you will, to be able to earn an extra 10K a year in their salary, in their wages or in their bonuses, all of the things, the three-way pay. And so if you have some things in your tool belt that are going to help them, then actually implementing that with your team, it's a no-brainer. So we need to be able to coach them to win and give them the soft skills. I did a podcast maybe 6 weeks ago or so, the five meetings that rule them all. But we need to have a cadence, a rhythm of how often we meet. We need to meet our team in one-on-ones, whether it's workshops or daily huddles. All of those tools help our people pull together and keep our eye on the prize. Because if you're an All Black, so in New Zealand we have the All Blacks obviously playing rugby. Imagine that the coach only met the All Blacks on Saturday on the side of the field. No, they meet every single day and they are coached every single day. We can't put our people out and say, all right, go out on the floor. Here are some clients. Good luck. I hope you make your target. So we need to nurture and care for our people. And then the last part really is, how do we build a plan for our clients so our team can grow? The problem is in a business as it starts to grow, and if you implement these strategies, Growth is inevitable. And the problem with growth is growth breaks things. And what happens with a growing business is this problem starts to occur. As your stylists or therapists get busier, their columns are full, new clients aren't able to get in with those that are established, well-experienced, and are doing good work, because they're the ones that are getting the referrals as your brand builds. So better quality clients start wanting to come to the salon. And if the new clients can't get in with those existing people, who do they go to? They go to the new person. And the new person is either is a budding stylist or therapist on her way up her career roadmap, but she's inexperienced, or she's an import and she's come to the business, but she still doesn't even know where the combs are kept, let alone how to do a consultation your style. How do we do the scalp massage? And so either experience, high quality clients start coming to low quality performing team members. This is not good for your brand. This is like creating a disappointing experience, and this is a problem. And this is where I see clients start to fall away, because they can't get the experience that they've been promised by the brand or by the referrals, and it all starts to unravel. So we need a 5-star client progression program to build the clients. They need future. They need to know what's happening, but also that are going to keep our teams, our 5-star teams, growing and being able to earn more over time, but without working more hours. We've got to break the ceiling of time, you know, maximum income per hour if we want to survive. Okay, those are the three things we need to think about when we're thinking about coaching our team to win. And you know, I like the simplicity of what our goal is as a great leader, and we have to nail this part if we want to be a successful business owner, because if you don't, you'll always feel less than as a business leader, and your salon will be behind the eight ball, because success really is dependent upon your ability to lead your people. It's not rocket science, but it is a science, and it is learnable, which I just want to say because it's to be encouraging. Okay. I can see there are some comments. I will come back once we've finished, and I'll come and make sure I answer those. I would love to know, though, what has been your aha moment? Like, what is the thing, the one thing that you need to work on in your business of all of the things that there are? What we covered today is the three ways to pay, what to avoid. We talked about the 100K career roadmap, how to build that out and create future for our people. And we talked about how we coach our team to make sure that we're, you know, letting them win, giving them the tools to win. This is one of my favorite salon owners. Her and I chatted just last week, and she implemented Do I Get a Pay Rise, the 100K career roadmap, when she came and joined Salon Mastery. When she came to Salon Mastery, that was 2021, her baseline average sales were $8,500 a week. This is in Australia, Australian dollars. $8,500 a week is what she was averagely trending. And in 2021, she grew to 11, 2022, 16K, and 2023, she's now hitting a new high of 25,000. And that's because she's built a career roadmap for her team members and given them reason to stick around. Doesn't mean that people haven't left. People still come and go, but you've got to give them future and a reason to stay, and then build the tools for them to succeed. Molly, you're a champion. So if you're thinking like, what the heck is next? Where should I put my attention? Maybe you're thinking, Larissa, I need to do all three of those things. Then I want to encourage you that if you're feeling stuck around this and there is some work to do, it's not uncommon for the business owner to be the bottleneck for growth. Your ability to implement a strategy like this, your ability to do the one-on-ones, your ability to create the roadmap, all of those things, especially if you're serving clients yourself, you will always be the roadblock, the bottleneck in your business. Don't worry, I'm not saying this because I'm, you know, greater than thou and not the, I'm always the bottleneck in my business. We are always the bottleneck. And if you're not growing, it's because of you. If I'm not growing, it's because of me. And I think when we're stuck, why should we do it alone? We should get some help, and get somebody to help us move past that. Like, better is together for sure. And so what is better together? Well, I think there's three ways to get help. One is you need a good peer. peer, you know, like a buddy, someone who's in the trenches with you, in the same stage and phase of business as you, like somebody that you're doing it together, another business owner who understands. I think you need a network, a group of people who are a step ahead of you, who are like-minded, and you can kind of share the sorrows but can say, come on, mate, you can do this. So we need a network. And then we also need a coach or a mentor, someone who's been right where you are, who's been past where you are, and we can shortcut the road to success. Don't worry, I have a coach too. Always have a coach. Too many business owners are winging it, and instead we need a really clear, laid-out plan. A step-by-step of someone who's worked out the pitfalls, like it's all about shortcutting pitfalls, the right strategies, and this is the most important things, is the right strategies at the right stage of business, because at different stages we need different things. So if you don't know how, with building longevity in your team, paying them the right way, building them future, then maybe it's time to get some help. And if you need help with implementing those strategies, to create sales targets, to create future, to build a roadmap, and coach them, then maybe now's the right time for me to say, who do I work with? Or what does that look like? So I work with salon owners who have a team, typically, but not exclusively, four or more, maybe seven in the team, maybe there's 10. Maybe there's 20, like I had, 28. But you have a team and you want to grow a team, that you're already smashing $4,000 a week. Maybe you're already doing $8,000 a week. Maybe you're doing $1,000 a week. Sorry, $1 million a week already. It doesn't matter, but that you are smashing some sales. You are doing, you are serving clients and creating sales, but you're ready to step up and become the real CEO of your business, become the business owner. And that your goal ultimately is to build a profitable business that works without you. We help people install the right systems and strategies at the right stage and phase of business. And I think what's most important is that you're open, coachable, and you're an action taker. My goal, of course, is to teach you to fish. And I like that saying, because it's like, I can give you all of the strategies in the world, but you need to be able to know how to do it for yourself, because people will come, people will go, and you need to be able to survive the lifestyle, the life cycle of your team members. The goal ultimately is that there's the higher percentage of them stay for longer, but people will always leave, and so you need to be able to know how to future-proof yourself. So if you are interested in getting some help with implementing a proper way to pay your people for them to stay for the long term, then my invitation to you is, let's hop on a call. I call it a strategy call. My goal is to find out more about you, your team, what your goals are for your brand and where the roadblocks are. And then the purpose of that session would be, if I know what the challenges are and where the roadblocks are, then am I the right person to help? Can I help? I can definitely help with the roadmap type of stuff, but there's often some challenges to unpack, whatever that may be, and let's see if we're a right fit. There's no cost for that. It's a discovery style call. So my invitation to you is, if you want some help, I would be more than happy to help. There's no obligation. My goal would be to make sure that I'm clear about the ways that I can help, and it's okay if we're not the right fit. I'm going to put the link to that if you need some help. Here we go. And as promised, that link is, by the way, is a link to my calendar. And as promised, I wanted to give you the three-way pay system. And so I'm going to put that in the comments here. When you click on that, it's going to take you to Messenger, and I will give that to you in Messenger, and that will help you get underway and get things started. All right. Hey, it's been awesome. It's been really nice to have all of you join me all the way through. I would love to know, what is your biggest takeaway of the session? And maybe we shall talk soon. All right. Ciao for now.
All right. I'm really pleased that you could join me on this workshop. It's one of my favorite topics because it really does make a big difference to the lives, not only of ourselves as business owners, but of our team. Too often, we see young rockstar stylists and therapists leaving this awesome industry after their apprenticeship or only a few years on the floor because they're undervalued and that they can't see a future other than waiting to build their clientele and earn more, or just being back to back with no future in sight. I'm on a mission to change that. So how do we talk to our team? How do we show them the path to become amazing 100K stylists and therapists, inspiring them to work hard, but maybe not work long, but like work hard, play hard, and let's pay them super well so that your salon is the employer salon of choice. Let's teach our people to work smart. So remember, come and join me on the podcast. And if you click the subscribe button, not only do you get notified when the next episode is live, it also pushes out to more salon owners. A rising tide lifts all boats. Let's change this industry and let's reach the goal together of elevating this industry, $1 million salon at a time. Okay, ciao for now. Same time, same place next week on the podcast.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.